we are an old married couple. We row all the time and we don't have sex.
Exactly.
It's like having a skin tag. And it's probably in an intimate area. And you think, I'm frightened to go to the doctor because I don't want to, you know, have to get it all out.
Wearing skin
so instead of having him removed, I just let him flap about down there.
It's 10 years since gay marriage. It's progress.
Yeah.
And it's really important we acknowledge that progress and include as many people in the joy of that.
It is important every now and again just to remind people what goes on in my bedroom has got fuck all to do with you. What goes on in your bedroom has got fuck all to do with me.
Can we have a little flash of the shoes in shot?
Yeah, please.
Just a little, that little naughty heel.
Oh my gosh, Judy Garland. Somewhere.
This is very surreal, actually. Rylan, Rob Rinder.
Hello.
Rinder. Rob Rinder. Welcome to So Wrong It's Right.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. Do you know, I was talking to the team earlier, when we first were like building the series and I was talking about dream guests, you were both on my list individually, I swear, I'm not just saying this, and now I've got you together.
I mean, that's the unfortunate part. Because neither of us two will get a word in. I'm just letting you know.
You've got a twofer, as I would take the two.
A little twofer one.
Yeah.
Well, because I had you on, we were on Loose together, and you were only on for a short amount of time.
2 seconds a year, that's right.
And I was listening to you talk, and I said to everyone afterwards, I was like, you were so, I was so engaged by, you know, it was one of those people I could listen to you talk.
He's intense.
Yeah. But it was, but in a good way. It was just, I was just mesmerised.
Try spending a week, ask him.
Well, that's what I want to get to. So obviously, you guys have this show coming out, which I want to talk about, the Grand Tour.
Yeah.
But let's start back in the beginning. How did you
two
meet?
There was two decks and a microphone. Three in our case. We actually don't know how we met. No. And this is a genuine story. So, Liv, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
You go to these events. It's, hello, babe. Hello, babe, babe. So me and Rob have always been mates.
Okay.
Mates is the word we'll use.
Years?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. I once broke into the Judge Rinder set when I was filming a fashion show in Manchester and sent him a photo with me with his gavel in my hand. Not a euphemism. I actually do remember your response, and I think it was very much like, you've got a great grip of that, darling.
It sounds like that, yeah.
And it was very Rob Rinder-esque.
It's amazing our first encounter is where he committed criminal trespass.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Okay,
yeah. Yes.
It's quite, I've got the best barrister in the land to get me off, so, and not in that way.
So that's how you met through the industry and you've been friends ever since?
Well, no, we were mates.
No.
I would always say we were mates. You know, like mates in
like
the industry.
Like acquaintances.
Yeah, acquaintances. And then after doing this show, we are an old married couple. We row all the time and we don't have sex.
Exactly.
I mean, you did post this photo to Instagram that obviously that broke the internet.
No, we didn't. He did.
Okay, Rob did.
We were at a vineyard. No, honestly, this caused me a world of pain because obviously I was quite recently single when we were doing this and stuff like that. And there was this beautiful vineyard that we were filming in, which I don't actually think made the edit of the show because
Stop.
We were so
no,
pissed.
No, it didn't. Yeah, it's true.
But literally, he posted this picture and I don't know if you said, I said yes or we said yes or something like that. I had family members saying congratulations to me because they thought I was engaged to Rob Rinder.
People have thought, you know, I got Rinder punching. Which I thought was very sweet.
Oh, stop it.
But it was, no.
Rinder did get a punch that night, though, I'll tell you.
So you're not dating, you're not engaged.
No, we are not.
You are friends.
We are friends now, 100%.
Would you be each other's types?
I would marry Rob in a heartbeat.
Same. I'd
like,
marry
genuinely.
Do it then.
We would marry each other. But we the would dream. Be that couple, two looking for a third.
Okay.
What, to me. What? Oh, I see. Yeah.
No.
Why? Because there'd just be that some component.
I couldn't touch him in a sexual way.
Oh,
it'd feel like touching a family member.
Precisely. It would be problematic.
Yeah. Yes. We would both end up arrested.
Yeah. Ooh.
Too close.
No, when you love each other.
Yeah, it's almost like it becomes platonic and it can't go past that.
100%. I love him too much for it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, when you have two gay men or even, you know, a heterosexual boy and girl, they're just great friends.
Yeah.
And people project the assumption that you must be invested in some sexual relationship.
It's probably because people assume that because you keep treating that we're engaged.
I mean, that
might,
is fair.
That might have started something.
Yeah.
when I was writing my notes this morning, I was like, fuck it, I was writing notes because you two individually have lived like 1,000 lives. Like trying to like summarize what you've both done independent in your own careers before coming together to make this show, it's nuts.
Oh, babe, we'll take on the fucking world.
It's, I mean, it's honestly, and I was, when I was going back, I mean, Rylan, I mean, a lot of people obviously know you from your X Factor, you know.
I didn't, but anyway.
He actually never knew.
I knew you before. I knew you from Katie Price.
The modelling show, yes.
My God. Knew you.
So you don't know this about me.
Yeah, you see, and that, and you were modelling before, yeah. And you were in a tribute band, yeah. And all this stuff, and all these, you know, like you say, you've lived a life. Which
yeah, I've lived a couple of lives.
Lived
to be honest.
A couple yeah. of lives, and it's really iconic. I remember that Katie Price show, and I remember just thinking how weird, how life just comes. So full circle.
Like, just crazy, you know, like you bring Kate up and, you know, I love Kate. She's a great girl, but it's crazy now that what signed was, I think, 13 years ago this year. And, you know, that was, again, a bit of an accident that I ended up on that show. I was walking about, saw there was this audition. I was modelling at the time and I was like, oh, come on then, let's have a go. And the next thing you know, I'm in the final. And it was such a great experience. I made great friends, obviously, with Kate on the show.
Yeah.
And I still adore her to this day. She's another one who's lived about 1 million lives.
Yeah,
and she knew how to play this game. And one thing that she did that taught me very early on was she created Jordan. And that's how she puts up with all the shit. Mm-hmm. That's how she takes it. And in the show, we discuss me being Rylan,
yeah.
But at home I'm Ross.
And I think where the Katie Price Jordan thing was very well known, I don't think that many people know the Rylan Ross,
yeah.
That your real name is Ross and Rylan was a character
was
or
a modelling
name,
that
you...
yeah, that I was given, and then it's just stuck.
Did you get it out of a baby book?
Baby book, yeah, in W.H. Smith. So I did this job. I did this job when I was about 16, 17 for this like concierge company. Honestly, it was hilarious. And my modelling agency at the time, I was basically like, oh, well, I'll bring you dry cleaning, man, darling.
Really?
Yeah, it's like that.
It's like a PA type thing.
But, right. Pretty much, yeah, but it was like for like city boys. I was like, no, hello, boys. Give me a little shout. And it was just like the photo shoot for it. I was like, oh, my bag of rich husband didn't. Basically, my modelling agency at the time were like, Ross is a boring name. We're going to call you Keelan. I went, all right. I was like, all right, yeah, whatever. I couldn't give. I did not care
right.
In the slightest. You could call me what? I once worked in Selfridges, and my name badge was called Storm. So I've been known by many a name. Honestly, I start Catch Me If You Can. Honestly,
is this like your pornographic name where you like?
Oh no, my porn name's something different. I'll
What's
tell you my OnlyFans
first,
later.
It's your first pet and the road you grew up in.
It would be your OnlyFans.
Mine would be Maggie
name
Green.
Now, Maggie Green on
Don't
OnlyFans.
Work.
Maggie Green's a lollipop lady. That's not.
I know her.
Yeah, it's not
nice
the same
girl.
Thing. It's not a porn star.
But yes, yeah, so I was called Keelan. Anyway, I did this job, and it was probably about 150 quid for the day, and that's a lot of money, especially to me at that time. And they paid me by check at the end of the day, but it was printed on a computer and it was to Mr. K. Clark. So right. I couldn't change it. And I thought, I'm too embarrassed to go up to these people that have been calling me Keelan all day and go, my name's Ross. So I never cashed the check, ever. Oh. I think I've still got it somewhere. And I was working part-time at River Island. Yeah. And on my lunch break, I went over to W.H. Smith, got a baby book and thought, I've got to find a name beginning with R. And I literally opened the book and saw Rylan and went, that sounds like Keelan. And shut the book and that was it.
And that was it. And then Rylan was born.
You talk about Katie Price. You know, it just reminded me of a story. We were on like a daytime television boat once. I was standing next to a National Treasure.
It's just so showbiz, daytime Gloria, television boat.
What can I tell you? Anyway.
Gloria Hunterford.
I didn't know. I was like was working down.
Lovely blazer, I bet.
She was wearing a lovely blazer.
Always.
I was wondering like if the thing went down, how far the also dead side be. Do you know what I mean? You know, so.
Save glow at any cost.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Rinda.
She gets the life belt. No one touches our glow. Clutching them pearls.
So she came over. I can't repeat what, but she said, I think to this day, and bearing in mind, you know, I've represented quite a few people in the past, the filthiest thing I've ever heard anyone say. And it was just, that was it. And I was standing next to Gloria Hunniford. And it's one of the few times I've ever been deliciously speechless. And she sort of walked off.
Because it was so unexpected.
It was completely unexpected, yeah.
But I love that when you, like you say, especially when you, for me, you know, like coming into this industry, watching people for years on telly, and then like you said, then you're exposed to them in real life, and obviously we
a lot
all
of them
have,
are arseholes,
but that's the thing.
But
is
can
that
I throw that back to you?
Yeah,
I'm really interested in this. You know that people get contained. I didn't even know he was on X Factor until literally the night we were about to meet in Venice.
But you don't watch telly, do you, Bob?
Not really. No, I do. I watch. I don't have one, but I do. I watch everything on, you know, like iPad and blah, blah, blah.
Is it a conscious decision not to have a television?
I just like sleeping most. I like books and whatever. I have time, you know, but I watch like series and catch them up.
Things.
Similar, you know, you get like one person, the show, the thing that you're associated with. And, you know, any of your listeners, all of us are, you know, a patchwork quilt of so many things. Of that great big tapestry, but the idea that we get described and strictly pigeonholed, beautifully put, into the one thing, I think often is a source of real sadness for people when actually there are a delicious variety, a rich thread of different things that make up their tapestry. Mm.
I mean, your words are just...
But don't you think that...
But they do start grating on you, though, Lynn.
They do, shut up. But I end up speaking like you after 5 minutes.
Can you stop raising your voice, please? Very embarrassing.
You're embarrassing.
You are absolutely right. But I think also, when you get pigeonholed into these boxes, especially, like, in television or anything in
especially
entertainment...
Especially for us coming from reality TV as well.
What happens when that role, that person, so I was like the screamy, shouty one on, you know, Love Island, whatever. When it works and people want more of it, then you kind of go, can you do that again for this show? And you think, well, yeah, okay. So then you kind of go down
for
that road.
Price, darling,
for a good price. Yeah. But then it's like you get to a point where you're like, oh, there is another side of me I'd like to show. And it's not always overnight that you get a chance to do that. Like, you know, I've waited, you know, years to be able to show myself in an organic...
We're lucky.
Yeah.
We're very lucky, especially from our background, especially. Mm. I always sit there and say, I got lucky on a TV show. That's how I look at my life. I know you create your own luck.
Yeah.
But I got lucky being even selected to go on X Factor, especially with my fucking vocals. But at the end of the day...
I thought you were lovely.
go back to sleep, Nan. But it's what you do after that. It is what you do after that.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, the joke with me is, oh, you're everywhere. And do you know what? Yeah, I am everywhere because, like Rob's saying, I've not just got one facet. You've not just got one facet. You're just not the shouty, screamy one from Love Island. Mm. I'm just not the one that warbles and cries into Nicole's vagina area in Dubai, you know?
What are you talking about?
When I broke down on a... thingy.
No, but Rylan, you make a really good point. And like you say, this is how I try and think of it in my head. And you've always been a big inspiration for me for lots of reasons. But like you say, making that movement from reality and being a kind of character, you get lucky, right, to get on the show, like X Factor or Love Island, whatever. What you do afterwards, if you're going to work your bollocks off, you're going to be nice to people, you're going to show up.
But that's it. You have just said it.
You have to
be
stick
fucking
it.
Nice to people. Yeah. I'll tell you for why. Because when I first started working out, the runners that were on my show, one of those runners is sat in that gallery now. He's my director.
There
he manages my life, basically. Yeah. And the runners, when you sit there and they say, do you want a coffee? And you sit and go, oh, don't worry about it, babe. It's fine. Blah, blah, blah. Do you want a coffee?
Yeah.
Or you get them a little present at the end of the series. Them runners are now the commissioners.
But the problem with that...
Let's see who's working in 10 years' time.
It sounds like you would...
That's how you got to look.
Yeah, it sounds like, though, that's sort of slightly Machiavellian, strategic.
Not consciously.
That's who you are, though.
Also, I've heard so many stories during the Grand Tour. Sorry to come out a couple of them. You know, he'd be outside, you know, having a cigarette, you know, and you'd find him in the car. Now, listen, Giancarlo, you got to get rid of Maria, like with the driver in the car.
That's she was a bitch.
She was a C word. But the point is,
she was a bitch. She shouldn't have been with
her. This is the thing. And, you know, you get this limited platform to improve the chemistry of somebody's day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Simply by taking a selfie. The mindfulness with which Rylan approaches that duty, I would call it, is so joyful to behold. And frankly, if you don't want to do that, get yourself a real fucking job.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is, when you're with him, because he treats every like person, every encounter, every moment with humankind with that degree of kind of love, commitment and kindness, it meant that we actually ended up getting, you know, better experiences from the show. An example, we went to this place called the Casa Bonarotti, which is in Florence. And
I know where the fuck that is.
Don't worry about if you know.
Liv, listen to me.
That was me before
I went away. And now I could sit here and talk to you about Caravaggio. I could sit here and talk about Donatello. My interest was architecture.
Right.
I've always loved architecture, but art I've never thought was for me. But what you're saying about Casa Buonarroti is so true. Because it made him fume at one point.
Not fume. It was just typical steam. Me. It's all about just...
steaming.
So,
You was. I could see the hate like coming off of your head.
Make me sound like an unconjugated turd. Talking about
honestly.
So, but I walked.
You're it, so because you're like one, but you're opposites. It's the weirdest. Like the chemistry is unbelievable.
Do you know what it's like? It's like having a skin tag.
Oh my god!
And it's probably in an intimate area, and you think I'm frightened to go to the doctor because I don't want to, you know, have to get it
is
all
he
out.
Not wearing skin
so
tag
instead
colour?
Of having him removed, I just let him flap about down there. That's the best way to describe our relationship. You know, it's part of me, but would I have it removed? Yeah.
Yeah. Behave yourself.
I'm obsessed with you, babe.
It's a lovely colour, honestly. Have you showed him Bonnie Langford's shoes? Have you seen he's wearing Bonnie Langford shoes today?
Like beige, just sit next to him and, because it does look like you're just...
Liv, you know Bonnie Langford's lent him the shoes for today? Show him your shoes. Pop your leg up.
They're fabulous.
And
give
everyone
us a little
bit
taller.
Give us a little, come on.
Thank you. No, I've
been
coming out here. Give us a 12.
It's the only heel I've got. And like we look like Frodo Baggins and Gandalf.
I have to wear flats with him because he gets...
Because
I'm too tall.
Yeah, it was like sort of.
How high
you know,
are them heels?
To speak to him, we have to climb.
They
Susanna
are. They're a generous. They're a generous kitten.
Thank you. They're a generous.
Darling,
kitten.
That's the full-on pussy. What are you going on about? The length for them. That's a good couple of inches. And it's only the flare at the top that I've noticed just in the last 10
that's
minutes.
That's a whole other story. I'll tell
what
you
is that? Did you put them on?
No,
like,
I'll tell you about that after I nicked them from a show.
They're kind of Tudor.
That's a thank you.
It's giving Anne Boleyn.
It's giving beheaded.
It is.
It's giving,
and it's giving divorced.
It's giving happily. Thank you. They are true. Men were much more decorative back then.
Oh, don't
like,
I know
walk
it.
Around like you look like you're going to someone's like funeral. So no, that's all I've got. You know. Yeah, anyway,
he's never going to work, Rob.
So,
go on, talk to
we go to the Casa Buonarroti, yes. Which, like, so Michelangelo, everyone knows,
gorgeous.
Sistine Chapel, mm-hmm. amazing art, David, that sort of thing, Ninja Turtle, however you know him. and people think about artists nowadays, and generally speaking, apart from, like, you know, Tracy Emin, etc., Damien Hirst, who sort of made it big,
yeah.
most people think about artists as being pain, you know, coughing up lung butter and living in some unhappy garage.
Chopping their ear off.
Yes.
Or chopping their ear off, right. Exactly.
It's very, like, it's very tragic.
Tragic, yeah. exactly. Otherwise, we don't think they're artists, but during the Renaissance period, so, like, the mid 1500s, that sort of thing, they are rock stars, right? And he was a millionaire, was a big guy, right? And he got commissioned to paint the Sistine Chapel, and there's a very sort of famous painting. So you look up at that ceiling and it's amazing. And what is accepted by everybody is that the model in that painting was his gay lover.
Right.
And there's no doubt about that. It's not dispute or controversial
to
say.
About then.
There were
yeah,
then.
But
just
in
as
secret?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, especially
although,
in Venice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah, yeah. So he leaves his palazzo, his palace, to his nephew. And his nephew creates this space in honour of his uncle.
Okay.
And loads of these cool people are hanging out there. Galileo, etc., that sort of thing.
All of the
big hit. Right, is that... What's that?
That was Queen.
Oh, yeah. You, okay. Shh. Yeah, no, Galileo,
that's
Figaro, Magnifico.
That's it.
Yeah, same thing.
Good deal.
Right, exactly. Anyway, the long and short, there's a very famous female artist who's part of that world called Artemisia Gentileschi.
Okay.
She's the only one that's sort of in that canon, up there with like the great artistic gods.
And the story with her is incredible. We won't go into it in detail here, but when you watch
you
the show, it's actually beautiful, the story.
It's a stunning story. Oh, I think we should.
We had tears in our eyes.
No, I think you should. Anyway, the point is, right...
give me the synopsis.
Like synopsis. Really quickly, the nephew commissions great artists to paint the life of Michelangelo. So it's got moments from his life. The moment he was commissioned by the Pope to paint the Sistine Chapel and six frescoes that represent aspects of his life, including his vision, right? So I walk in, this one's outside having a cigarette, no doubt talking to everyone, solving their problems, whatever.
I'm like Trisha.
In many respects, yeah. And I walk in, there's this American art historian who gives me, in a sweet way, but her aggressively undivided indifference. I want her to impress, you know, I want her to like me. I'm doing the lot, you know, Artemisia Gentileschi, all the rest of it, facts, figures, etc. And I know a little bit about this extraordinary artist's life. So she was the daughter of, Gentileschi Sr., who's a great artist in his own right. You think about that, the end of the 1500s, beginning of the 1600s, he sees what a prodigious virtuosic talent his daughter has, and he trains her. That was unthinkable. We've lost so many of the great female artists. Mozart's sister, for example.
Because it wasn't acceptable for them
So all of that great art has been lost. These female artists whose voices we don't know about, whose work we'll never see. But she got there. And anyway, tragically and terribly.
Appallingly.
Right, exactly. She was, put her, let's say, in the hands of an art teacher who raped her. And she maintained her claim against him, which, think about it back then, and she was tortured by the Inquisition.
By being tortured, she couldn't paint.
She couldn't paint. Her thumbs were in such an appalling state, to say the least, that she couldn't paint.
From being tortured?
From being tortured. Nevertheless, she maintained her claim against him. Right, nevertheless, and of course, some may say times haven't changed. Very little happened to the art teacher, but by this stage, she goes from Rome up to Florence. You can't think of Italy as one great big place, different states, like different countries.
Yes.
Her fame, like, precedes her. She's famous. She arrives in Florence. She's commissioned to do this work, and she's paid two times, or three times, I think it was, of any of the other artists in this room. Now, I go in, and I know that much, and I see this fresco of hers. And there's some debate about, you know, about art history, and all these people go, was she really great, or is she the only woman that we know about? And consequently, do we elevate her in a way that may not be justified? Let's say that's the conversation I'm looking at. This art historian, please be my friend. Please like me. Please be impressed with me. Couldn't have given a shit. This one walks in, having had a fag, right? Looks down at her because, you know, she's 5 foot. So, like, she's just going to look around and go, fucking hell, love. It's like Graceland in here, isn't it? Anyway, she looks like, that is exactly what this place is. Right. Totally and completely melts because that's exactly what this place is. And she then starts describing it. And then he immediately, he notices straight away that that's not the painting. They've taken it off.
I've looked up and I've gone, something ain't right there, babe.
Right.
She went, what? I went, something wrong with that. And she went, you're right.
Yeah.
That's not a painting. That's a photograph of the painting. We've currently got it down.
What, and you didn't notice?
No, I actually did notice, but it didn't matter. He noticed.
He noticed straight away.
But we would not have had the next bit of the experience, but for the connection that Rylan
But just
made.
So organic, without any...
The next bit, I think it was like the moment where what it turns out she's restored this painting lovingly, knew everything about Artemisia Gentileschi. They've x-rayed it, they've MRI'd it, and then...
It's unbelievable.
What do we discover about
it? So the picture is of a woman, a naked woman, but with a sash across her breast and a sash across her lower half. And they knew by looking when they took this painting down for restoration, something wasn't right with it. Something wasn't right. And they were adamant this is not the original version of this painting. And it turns out that Artemisia painted herself fully naked. And it was only as the years went on that the family decided to have it painted over and covered because they thought it was distasteful. And for the very first time after x-rays, gamma rays, all of this, me and Rob were the first two members of the public to see the painting, how Artemisia painted it of herself, which is basically, we believe, and so did the art historian, reclaiming her womanhood after the rape.
It's the first example.
It was unbelievably moving.
A female self-portrait
of a nude.
So it was a nude.
Yeah.
And there she was.
Think
but about
someone
what
added the added that they went on her painting and messed with it.
Because it was considered to be socially unacceptable.
How did that feel to be the first people to see that?
An honour. An absolute honour.
Like, that's genuinely incredible.
I get goosebumps when I think about it now. That's what art can be. And more
did
than
you have
that,
any idea going in?
No, at all. We didn't know.
But there she was. Hang on. Like, bearing in mind, she's been commissioned to paint Michelangelo's vision. And there she is, a self-portrait. By the way, she also painted it when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Fully nude, in the fullness of her body, looking down at us. You want to talk about vision? You want to talk about being, this is what it is. That was over 400 years ago. I get goosebumps thinking about it now. Yeah. I reclaim my body. I reclaim my power. That's what art can be. You never would have seen any of it. I never would have felt any of it. But for that fool outside coming in and, you know, changing the emotional complexion with this woman that wanted to share it with us because she trusted him enough to be truthful and honest. And then, of course, they're having a whole conversation, as ever with the art, go, that ain't right, right? Because the shading up there, right? I don't like it, right? That's in my third book about Artemisia. That's like, yeah. And of course, he knows all of this stuff because he used to blend makeup.
Yeah, he used to do makeup. So we were talking about tones and stuff like that. I was like, well, that tone ain't right. That beige isn't beige enough. That needs to be that.
Rob, did you grow up with art?
Not at all. This is a fact. No. I'm a fraud.
Because how different were your upbringings?
Not or that were very they not similar.
That, not that different.
I think that's fascinating.
Very, very different.
Can we talk about that a little
bit? Talk whatever you like. No, I grew up in Southgate. Although I didn't sound different, I became... Do you know the Mitfords are? These, like, posh people in, like, the 1920s, who I'm a bit obsessed with. I grew up, like, literally down the road from Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
And I, you know, I mean, my dad and her dad were great friends, and that's how... Everyone I grew up with sound.
Yeah.
I went to state schools. But, you know, there's a thing about, I guess I knew I was gay maybe. Growing up working class, I sort of always imagined that I was, I don't know, some sort of elephant in a sea of giraffes. Put it however you like. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Or I'd go to like these posh houses, like Hatfield House at school. You know, you go to like these country.
Yeah.
I thought it was absurd they were taking me away. Like, who are these people?
You're like, I live here.
Yeah, of course.
I live here.
I was like, what's going on? And so when you go back and look at videos, I don't sound terribly similar from the way I did now. Mm. But for me, these things, culture, let's say,
yes,
was like not a way out. It was a way of curating my own narrative, my own story, perhaps being different. If I'm going to be different, I knew intuitively I was. It might as well have a voice and a character too. And it's too late to go back.
Some of my followers might know this. They have a very interesting family history, which is a whole other episode that I'd love to talk to you more about. But my dad's side is German, but his great grandmother was Jewish.
Right.
So that was obviously, you know, they lived in Nazi Germany. Yeah, right. So your documentary did with the BBC and everything and educating people around that just is huge. And is that something that's still very, you know, big part of you?
Yeah. I care about it deeply. And so Holocaust, My Family and Me, which was a documentary that came out of it, there's now a program with UCL Centre for Education and Holocaust Studies, which is taught in schools across the country. And the thing that matters now more than ever isn't so much the horrors of what took place at the end, which we, of course, have to focus on. You know, it's a volcano in a dark landscape. It's not the only genocide. Tragically, we never learned the lessons. But it's how it started. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about your relationship with your ancestors, your family being German, it's really important to remember that this all began in the most cultured part of the world at the time. Like hanging out in Weimar Germany in the 30s, 20s wouldn't have felt dissimilar from some of the places that he ended up taking me to in Florence. And everybody with all these outward vestiges of modernity would have felt totally safe. Mm. And it took what, you know, tragic, terrible economic conditions, people to feel aggrieved by a treaty and the wrong person to come around at the right time and point at people to blame. And then you've got your alchemy and then the descent, 10 years into the horror of all of those concentration camps. But I care more than ever about remembering the beginnings, because that way we can safeguard our freedom. Mm. That's what the work is all about. So it's been a real privilege to do that work.
It's amazing. No, like you say, it's speaking to my family about it, especially having that, you know, very complicated and dangerous and terrifying thread with my great-grandmother being Jewish.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's something that happened slowly, but then... And quietly, but then all of a sudden, you're in the grips of it.
Yeah. But don't be complacent to think that it's disappeared now, that we need to be constantly vigilant. We live in a moment of complacency. I talk about the outward vestiges of modernity. It's a posh way of saying all of this stuff that we have around us, it's not going to happen to us. Yeah. That's what they thought
then.
We
feel disconnected, don't we?
We should share, actually. I think Ryland will share it better than I could. It's a moment in Venice.
Mm, I knew where you were going with that.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, we were in Venice, and we got to go and meet this collective called the House of Serenissima. Mm-hmm. And they were a drag collective from Venice. And all of these people would meet behind closed doors now in 2023, 2024, to dress up in drag, just be behind closed doors, have fun and have a lovely day, then wipe off all the drag and then go back out into the streets of Venice and go home. And we were invited to go and see them.
Is there a particular reason why it was behind closed doors?
They didn't feel safe. Because they didn't feel safe. Yeah. They didn't feel safe.
Is that because culturally there, it's not...
Culturally there, back in the Grand Tour days, anyone could be anyone behind that mask and it wasn't a problem. And we all think we've moved so forward over the years. We've gone backwards. And especially in Italy at the moment, without getting too political, the government out there and things like that, it's not very LGBTQ friendly at the moment.
And plus what happens in a space where it's just purely for tourists, it gets stuck in aspic, right?
Yeah.
So there are no safe spaces for these communities. So many of this community.
Because it's a museum, Venice. Yeah. The whole of Venice is now a museum. That's so, what it is. But people right. live there. This is what we yeah. forget. These people actually live it. So they do all this behind closed doors. And for the very first time, they'd been meeting up for about a year. Yeah. They invited us to go and meet them, and they were going to go on a walk in public to San Marco Square, Piazza San Marco, and do a little photo shoot yeah. just for them. And I said to Rob, right, Rob, we're going to go, but they want us to get into drag as well.
And I said, fuck off.
Yeah. Rob was like, absolutely not
but
doing
it. But you said,
it.
I'm not leaving without the shoes.
Well, I think I've changed him. You're going to find out.
Yeah.
So he was like, no. With Rob, I'm quite impulsive and I think, fuck it, let's just have a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob goes, what's the reason?
Exactly.
What's the reason? I need to know.
What's the reason for me to be in drag?
So we went to meet this collective, all gorgeous, all lovely. And Rob at this point still didn't know whether he was going to get in drag or anything like that. And we had a chat with a gorgeous girl that was actually doing your makeup. Yeah, yeah. And she was explaining why it's important that they do this. Mm. And Rob finally got it. So we dressed up in drag, mm-hmm. the pair of us.
Moving,
and we walked with the whole collective to San Marco
in
Square.
In a mask as well.
Rob wore a mask and right. that plays a part in the okay. in the thread of the first
as
show.
In, what can you do?
When you feel invincible.
Of, right. Yeah. Although I said, I thought, I looked, mate, I said...
How did you feel?
How'd you, well, I said, how do I look? I said... Do you think I look amazing? What'd you say?
It's giving Pauline Fowler.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, was that the look you were going for?
Well, it's the look he ended up with, darling. anyway, there's only a few wigs on offer. What was really interesting about that is we're walking through the streets and obviously for
your drag name could be Skin Tack.
No, what was your drag name? What was your drag name?
Oh, you gave it to, I can't remember.
Oh my goodness, I wish I could remember. Well, anyway, so we're walking through and literally... One thing that really stood out, and it actually did make the edit of the show, so we're walking through and someone shouted out something in Italian, like a young guy, mm-hmm. young guy, probably 20s, something like that. And I turned to one of the drag queens, I said, what did he just say? And they said, I'll burn the faggots.
Wow.
And I turned around, obviously I'm like now 20 foot in a pair of heels because I'm like 19 without. And I wanted to go mad. I wanted to go after this bloke and basically knock him out. And what then happened was 200 metres later, there was a group of like old nonnas, all probably in their 80s, probably even in their 90s, and they all stood up and clapped us.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was that realisation of thinking, we always blame the older generation for everything. We always go, oh, it's old thought, it's they're backwards in their thinking. Mm. When actually... It was that generation that was applauding this collective for being comfortable in who they are. Sure. You're not hurting anyone. You look amazing. Have a lovely day. And yet it was a 20-odd, 30-odd year old bloke, our generation of people, that was shouting out, burn the faggot. Yeah. And that was a real realisation moment for not just us, but for them as well.
Yeah.
They realised, do you know what? The people that we thought we would offend or upset
were gonna react.
Are the ones that are actually looking after us.
The complacency, exactly.
It's really, really a beautiful moment, actually.
Yeah. How do you feel on the back of that thread as two gay men when you travel?
Are you not gay. Fuck you going on about?
She told me.
So you not met my wife?
Which one is it?
Maureen? I'm a plumber. I've got three kids. You'd love it if I was a plumber.
I would love it if you were a plumber. That's true, actually. I would marry you then.
Yeah, I know you would.
Have you had a real job? Yeah.
How do you feel when you travel to places that... Does it affect you where you're going to travel? Would you travel somewhere that you know there is, you know...
Well, I do. I mean, you know...
You do, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I always... You know, I'm quite lucky in the fact of the places that I go to, I can pick and choose where I go or for work reasons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was on X Factor and we went to Dubai.
Yeah.
And as I got off of the plane, one of the producers literally grabbed me and pretty much read me the riot act and said, do not do this. Do not be like that. Do not do that. And I was obviously quite young as well at the time. I was 22, 23 on X Factor. And I was like, what? And look, don't get me wrong. That's not saying gay people can't go to the United Arab Emirates.
But interesting you say Dubai because I've got so many gay friends and it's very split in the middle. Yeah. Some of my gay friends go to Dubai all the time, like, don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go like snogging a guy by the pool, but I don't care.
I would be concerned as well, not saying I'm ultra famous in the Arab Emirates, but
it being
someone of note landing in that country that they think, oh, could we get... Am I putting myself at risk by someone or something? So, yeah, I mean, I've just filmed another show in Colombia. I was out there for a month and they're quite liberal with how that they are. But the one thing I had to worry about being in Colombia was being a person of note from Europe with obviously genuine concern, pirates. I know that sounds really, really crazy. The biggest concern there is actual pirates. Shit. Yeah, because we were on an island filming this show.
Yeah.
And the biggest worry of movement at night when we were filming was pirate boats.
People don't realise that, like,
apparently they would never hurt you. They just want a bit of dollar.
They would. They just want some. You for
they'd fucking get rid of me after 20 minutes. I'd be like, how dare you? You see my mate's boots? He'd kick you in the face with them Cuban heels.
Take away your makeup. You're like, honestly, they say it's not fucking worth it.
No.
Whatever. They'd pay.
They'd pay to send
you
me back.
To send you back.
Yeah.
100%.
I think I'd have a lovely life at sea.
Pirate.
You'd so, take over the ship.
As long as I've got a Jolly Roger at the end.
They'd all just look friends all over board.
Be lovely. But yeah, no, I think, like, on a serious note, there's certain places I wouldn't go because of the thinking around sort of gay people in general.
I can't believe it's just 10 years.
10.
10.
Yeah.
Years of gay marriage.
10 years. Yeah.
When I saw that the other day, it kind of just, like, stopped me in my tracks because I was like, fuck, just 10 years.
Someone tweeted the other day and I retweeted it. It was really, really frightening. I want to say it was 1998. Yeah. He was expelled from the military, the army, for being gay.
Sure.
And his life was made hell. He was even imprisoned for it.
Yeah, just
98.
It's fucking crazy, isn't it? When you think about the tiny amount of time that is. 98.
Sure. While I'm sitting there in the school playground, little ginger boy dancing to Spice Girls, that guy has just been kicked out of the army for being gay.
But I think it's worth being mindful. It's a complex one. On the one hand, we have to be constantly vigilant. Right, and to remember, like, that ugly, toxic voice of the person screaming homophobia. At the same time, it's 10 years since gay marriage, 10 years since gay marriage, it's progress.
Yeah.
And it's really important we acknowledge that progress and include as many people in the joy of that. Because, of course, there are battles to be won.
Yeah.
And education.
Well, especially now with trans rights.
Right, precisely, to be shared. But it's people are not going to come along with you if you don't at least remind them how far we've come.
Yeah,
I think it's important to see it through the lens, let's say, of optimism as well.
To keep it moving in the right direction.
Right, but at the same time as remembering that, it's 10 years since gay marriage, but don't forget, there's all different forms of privilege, let's say. So yes, we've come far, and yes, it's important to celebrate that, but we need always to be mindful of those young people and others that are reaching for, not their truth, but a life that is authentic.
And me and Rob, and I hope I say this in the correct way and it comes across right, we're not the first two people to be at the front of the Pride bus flying the flag. Mm. You know, he's more likely to be in a book and I'm more likely to be in a hungover state, right? that's who we are. But it is important every now and again just to remind people, what goes on in my bedroom has got fuck all to do with you. What goes on in your bedroom has got fuck all to do with me. Mm. As long as someone's not hurting someone and it's not affecting your life in a derogatory way, stop putting your fucking business into it and let people live their lives. Mm. It's as simple as that.
What are you both like? What was it like travelling with each other?
Oh, fuck me.
Like, talk about the actual physicality of travelling, like airports, things. Are you similar travellers?
Oh, God, no.
No, I am Mr. Organised, Mr. Slick, Mr. Get your fucking liquids out now because I'm not getting pulled up at this security site. I love him, but we all call him Nonna, right? I remember at one point in Florence, we were really up against time to get somewhere. And I'm like, coming everyone's, we're all walking through, like all the piazza, rah, 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 rah. And I knew I didn't even have to turn around. I thought, he's not going to be there. And I turned around, fucking nowhere to be seen. I've run back past the Duomo, past like all these beautiful architectural places, sitting outside a gelateria going, and I've gone, what are you doing? And he's like, hello, love. And I'm like, get! And I have to drag him. I have to drag him. And if he's not looking at something, he's like this. I have to drag him. And people must look at me and think, my God, like, can't believe he's dragging that poor man around. Like, maybe he needs the assistance. Like, I don't know. Honestly, like it's the only way to get him around.
It's true.
Even today, our team are all through that pane of glass. We just finished an interview. We're on quite a tight schedule today.
Yeah.
And he's going, no, before we go, your piece on that show about walking out, darling, it's just absolutely incredible.
Say, darling.
Tell me about it, love. And I'm
was
sitting there
interesting.
Going, the car has been sat outside for half an hour.
It was interesting.
Just be polite and go, thank you, love, take care.
It's horrendous. It's horrendous. Honestly, I wanted to kill him most days.
This one like goes with an entourage of clothes, and I never take more than hand luggage.
Yeah, I'm a hand luggage man, but I've flown in from
what hand luggage?
In my little Louis.
What cases do they bring for me?
It's got nothing to do with what I carry.
You're turning into Mariah Carey.
I am Mr. Do you know what? Rylan is 20 cases.
Yeah.
Ross is Mr. Efficient.
Interesting.
I went to Barcelona for 3 days on my own. Literally, I lied. My name was Josh Morgan. I was a family lawyer. Honestly, best 3 days of my life. You know about this.
I don't know about Josh Morgan. No.
Yes, you do. So I just lied. I could be someone else for 3 days.
What
exactly
if you
what
met
I
another lawyer who started asking about law?
Well, no, what actually happened was, so I went to Barcelona. It was quite recently after my divorce. And I was like, I need to grow up. I need to go somewhere on my own. I remember ringing my management and they were like, absolutely not. I was like, I'm going.
Yeah.
Got on this plane, went to Barcelona, stayed in a hotel all by myself. Never done this before in my life.
Yes.
And for 3 days, I got to not be Rylan and not be that person. And I remember sitting outside in a coffee shop and no makeup on, just sitting there with a cap on and a hoodie.
Did anyone clock you?
No, I'll tell you what, nothing. And I'm sitting there and this old lady walked past, probably sweet old nonna, whatever. And she like looks like that, like that. And normally in Britain, I'd be like, hello. You know, don't want to be rude. But because I knew I wasn't Rylan, I just went and bogged her out. And I'm not in a rude way, but it was just so nice to bog an old lady out. So anyway, I started talking to this guy on this roof terrace of a bar, and he was like, he'd just missed his flight. It was one of those stories. And he was like, oh, what's your name? And I instantly, I've got like two fake names for hotels. One is Tequin Whittock, the man that was coughing in the audience of the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire scandal. Which is always a fan favourite of mine. It's just, they'll say, what's the room under? And I'm like, Tequin Whittock. And they go, great. And the other one has always been Josh Morgan. And I don't know why. And I said the words Josh Morgan. And I just went, oh, I'm Josh Morgan. It could have been Tequin Whittock.
Yeah.
And I mean, went, what do you do? And obviously I was going through the end of my divorce at the time. So I just went, I'm a family lawyer. And I was like, please don't ask me any fucking law advice. The next night,
I was like, oh, good, I need a lawyer.
I know. Well, the next night, I'm with all of his friends, like on this roof terrace. It was just really, really nice and just having this beautiful time. And I was going home the next day and I just heard, oh my God, Rylan.
It would be that voice.
My penis went inside me and I just went, and I turned around and there was a hen party.
And they've all come rushing over. That's like a lamb to slaughter. Literally. You and a hen party.
Oh, horrendous. And they've all come rushing over like all over me. And all of these people are like, fuck. And they're like, can we have a selfie? And I'm like, sure. And I'm like that, had the photo. God. And they all went. I went, have a great wedding. Bye. And then I sat down and it was silence. And they went, so who's Rylan? And I just went,
were they English?
I need to tell you. No, they weren't.
Right,
they
so you weren't. Had to explain to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, so I had to explain. But they found it really, really funny. That's and they good. Actually got
what a story. Got it.
Did you then, like, I mean, the completion of the story is then, did what happened?
Oh, my penis come back down.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That's what I was concerned about.
We're not still waiting for it to rejoin
us. Oh, no, it's fully out.
Is it wrong, is it right, or is it so wrong, it's right? Hotel kleptomania.
Oh, right.
Stealing things from hotels.
Right.
Yeah.
It depends what.
Not like the curtains are a picture, but like...
Oh, like the soap and stuff.
Yeah, or maybe like something bigger. Maybe like a candle or something you shouldn't take.
Why do amazing hotels? I mean, they lose fortunes.
I mean, I've got a couple of dressing gowns.
Oh, wrong.
Wrong, okay. Right and wrong.
Yeah.
Well, drinking before midday on holiday.
Absolutely right. Yeah, on holiday. Of course it's right. It's 11 o'clock somewhere.
On travel.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Why? Because it goes wrong for you.
Yeah.
Same.
Oh, yeah. The only way he'd eat the... Like, we wanted to, like, explore how the architects who built the Brunelleschi incredible Duomo, what they ate. So I took him for some tripe, which is what they ate, like stomach.
And
you should see his face. You've never seen it. It's one of the funniest moments. It's one of the funniest moments. The only way he could do it was by...
I was very much...
It's stomach lining and
stomach
stuff.
Stomach lining.
Tastes delicious. He ended up... The only way we could get him... The only way I could get him to do it, well, he did it himself, was to down 3 bottles of wine, which was called... What's the name of the wine?
Pussy Square.
Pussy. And the wine was called...
Honestly, in that moment, though, I was ready to have a defund the BBC plaque myself. I was ready.
Fake tanning before a beach holiday.
Absolutely right. And continue to throughout Saint-Tropez 3 hour.
No, I wrong, because when I did Strictly, I got fake tan and I ended up getting...
Yeah, but I'm ginger, so I don't tan, I have to.
Oh, that's a fair point, yeah.
Hooking up with a local that doesn't speak English.
Right.
Oh, my God, it's so wrong, it's right.
It's all of the above. It's please wherever you are, especially if you're...
Hello, Tequin Whittock.
Yeah.
Reclining your aeroplane chair. This obviously wouldn't be if you're in business. This would be if you're in the, you know, the short haul. Do you recline?
Not if it's like someone sat behind you, yeah, then type of seat.
Do not,
no,
to keep it upright.
I think
it's rude. Hard one, isn't it? Because if they recline in front of you, you feel like you have to go back. No.
Well, if they recline in front of me, that's when I start coughing like Tequin Whittock.
What do you think of this piece of art?
I think it's vulgar.
I mean, it is giving Disney shot.
I had already committed, just whoever controls the budget, to a little bit of a rebrand on this thing. But since Rob's been here today, I feel like we should move it forward.
It's giving Northfield Market.
Brian told me this is giving this morning.
That's giving this morning. Honestly, I thought we were going to open it up and Cat Daly's in there.
I stole that when I was on loose. I went upstairs and grabbed it.
No, honestly.
I walked in, I said intuitively that this didn't feel very like your design aesthetic.
I chose the couches and then I was out of the country when they dressed it.
Well, don't slag off the designer. Someone's done this.
Well, they're here.
It's in your design. Got it on their CV. Leave it.
No, but...
We've just trashed it for the whole series.
I think it's stunning.
Do you have a dog or a cat?
I do. I have two dogs, yes.
My cousin's got your old dog's Fenty thing.
Fuck off.
Yeah, because your stylist...
Fuck off.
Your stylist, I think you were selling it or something. Kimberly's got it for Margot.
I can't believe...
Got a little Fendi collar.
Do you know, years ago when I was doing international terrorist cases, like one day if you told me...
Someone gifted it to you and we paid for it. You fucking made money on it, you. My God. Did you hear that?
It's like this big.
Yeah, Margot's only little.
Oh, so I tried to do it up. I was like, that's got to go.
Yeah, Margot loves that little Fendi collar.
Oh, my God, what a small world.
What a small dog.
Just woken up in a paragraph and said, my mate bought your dog's Fendi thing. I was like, what?
How did you get here? Studying law and, like, say, in criminal cases.
Through a happy, delightful route. And let me tell you, I've never been happier, which is joyful. Yeah.
Would you like to ding my metal cup to end the session?
Is that a euphemism?
No, Please tell me.
Just ding it with your finger, it makes a lovely sound. There we go.
Thank you so much for having us.
I just loved it. And now I am so excited. When's the show out? When can we watch?
The show is out on BBC Two very soon, in May. And you can watch it on iPlayer as well. There's three episodes. And I get off with a rugby player and he gets off with a couple of others.
Not couple. No, I didn't get off with them either. We exchanged them. You taught me how to talk to somebody without them wanting to get an injunction.
Can we have a little flash of the shoes in shot?
Yeah, please.
Just a little, that Thanks. Little naughty heel.
Oh my gosh, Judy Garland. Somewhere. Right, you do need to get them back to Arlene Phillips though, so we better go.
Got to go now.